Good morning. My name is Kevin Carlisle, and I'm the minister of First Christian Church in Vancouver, Washington. This morning we're talking about the Bible character Mephibosheth. I want to just give you a verse that gives some background about Mephibosheth. And first of all, I want to let you know that Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King Saul. And so he would have been an heir to the throne if there was no one left. And at one point, nobody was left. And we'll hear about that in a moment. But I want to share with you how he became crippled. So this is 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. And he was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled and said, It came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. You'll find out later that he broke both feet, and that's how he became lame. He's only 5 years old, and they were running because his nurse was afraid that the Philistines would come and try to kill him. And so this is the backstory to our passage in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said to the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan's, thy father's sake, and will restore all of the land of Saul to you, and all of the land of thy father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto your master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him, and you shall bring in the fruits that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall your servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both feet. Mephibosheth was just 5 years old when his nurse took him to flee from the Philistines. And he was dropped by accident and injured for life. And it was not his fault. Now, the name Mephibosheth is interesting. It means from the mouth of shame. It makes me wonder if he had a different name and he later took on this name. Because it's too kind of coincidental that he would become crippled and in that culture be in a place that was not respected. And he was living in fear. And there was a sense of shame about his existence. And his nurse, she took him to this place called Lodabar, and the name Lodabar, it means, well, Dabar means pasture. It can also mean word or thing. And Lo means without. So it's without pasture in those days. If you were in an area with no pasture, you were in a pretty poverty-stricken area because pasture was pretty important for the survival of a family and for livelihood because of the role of livestock. And being a place with no word, it's an isolation, not having any kind of sense of guidance or direction, you know, no word for Mephibosheth, no thing for Mephibosheth. And when things changed is when David asked the question, is there anyone left from the house of Saul? Now, he had made a promise to Jonathan, Saul's son, and that promise was that he would always treat Jonathan's family with honor and that he would preserve them. See, there was a fear in those days when one king took over another king's role, that the dynasty of the king that had been taken over would be wiped out. The people that could possibly inherit the kingship would be hunted down and killed in those days, in that culture, so that they would not in any way ever become a political threat, where they could rise up and have a following of people who would say, no, this guy should really be the king. And David was not really somebody that lived by the norms of culture. He lived by the norms of the Lord. He really was a kingdom of God person in the Old Testament, because so much of the things that he stood for were the same things that Jesus talked about and stood for. And so just looking at verse 1, it says he wants to see if there's anyone left of the house of Saul so that he can show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. That word kindness is the Hebrew word hesed. And there really is no one word that can define hesed. It's not just a word to describe an emotion. Hesed conveys a concept, a sense of love and of loyalty that inspires merciful and compassionate behaviors. To me, that's very similar to how I would define agape love. Agape being the Greek word for God's love. I think it's very similar to hesed. And so David, he wanted to show kindness to anyone left from the house of Saul. So they bring Mephibosheth to David, and he's obviously afraid, and understandably so, but David seeks to reassure him. In verse 7, he says, "Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. You don't need to worry. I had a covenant relationship with your father," is what he's saying. And he's kind in the chesed sort of way to Mephibosheth and to his young son, Micah, and his family. And he says that Mephibosheth not only will get all of the land, he was instantly made wealthy, and that land will be farmed by Saul's servant Ziba, who had 15 sons and several servants. So there was a lot of manpower to do the farming. But not only did he have that wealth, he also had the honor of being at the king's table for the rest of his days. And we know that being at the king's table was a great honor, an honor he didn't expect he would ever see. He was in a place where he felt forgotten and overlooked. I mean, how many times does this passage comment on the fact that he was lame? As if that was supposed to be some reason why David would not pay attention to him. David says, no, he's the son of Jonathan, and I'm going to honor him and bless him and show mercy to him. You know what this story reminds me of is Psalm 23, where it talks about how the Lord prepares a table in the presence of my enemies or our enemies. It talks about how his cup runneth over. See, the Lord has invited each one of us from our fallenness and our brokenness. A lot of our brokenness is no fault of our own. And no matter what the source of our fallenness and brokenness, he's coming to give us grace, to extend grace, to lift us up, and to sit us at his table. You can look around David's table, and you can see such a wide variety of different kinds of people. You can see his rugged, mighty men. You can see various members of his family. And you can see Mephibosheth. God's grace is extended to each and every one of us. And just like God's grace is extended to us, he's calling us to extend his grace in our lives, through our lives, to the Mephibosheths that cross our path. Every single person that we meet is our neighbor. We're to love each person that crosses our path with the kind of Hebrew chesed, or kindness, that David showed when he reached out to Mephibosheth. This is something we can't do without the strength of the Lord. And we're not going to be perfect at it. But he's calling us to do this. Perhaps you haven't been the most loving in recent days. God's grace extends to you. And it covers that. But it also encourages you to receive his strength and to be filled with his love, so that you can be his pipeline to others. You know, in the biblical days, they had what they called terracotta pipes. They were pipes made out of clay that were porous, and liquid would go through the pipes and they would get absorbed into the pipe. And then, as they were absorbed into the pipe, they would then flow through the pipe to the destination. That's how I imagine each one of us are. We're like terracotta pipes. We are Mephibosheth and we receive God's grace, but then we also become like David and we extend God's grace. God uses us as his arms, his hands extended to a hurting world. God bless you.